this evening. We're going to turn to two passages, Genesis chapter 22 and then Hebrews chapter 11. Genesis chapter 22 and then Hebrews chapter 11. Look at, a familiar story for most of us, but we're going to be looking specifically at one of the names of God found in Genesis chapter 22, and hopefully study that, understand it more thoroughly, and hopefully be able to apply it to our lives and see how it can help us in becoming better Christians. Jesus said this in Matthew 22:37. Jesus saith unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Charles Spurgeon said this, If you desire Christ for a perpetual guest, give him all the keys of your heart. Let not one cabinet be locked up from him. Give him the range of every room and the key of every chamber. And in Genesis chapter 22, we see that Abraham was given a test to see if this was true, what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22. We'll start in verse 1. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, get thee into the land of Moriah. Offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told them of. Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Then in Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll come back then and look at Genesis 22. Hebrews chapter 11, we see Abraham listed this act in the hall of faith in verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son. We don't have to get confused here. We noticed in Genesis chapter 22 that the word in Genesis 22:1 was the Lord tempted, and then in verse 17 of Hebrews chapter 11, it says that he was tried. I like the word tried better, and remember the word tempted can be used both ways. So this idea of tried is gives us a better understanding, I believe, of what Abraham was going through. It wasn't as though God was coming with sin and going to tempt him. That idea of tempting was that God was trying Abraham. He was putting him through a test. And it says that he tried him when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. this the words to the song, I believe, fitting to this these two passages, Genesis chapter 22 and Hebrews chapter 11, are all for Jesus, all for Jesus. All my being's ransom-powered. All my thoughts and words and doings, all my days and all my hours. Another song which aptly is fitting for this Genesis 22 and Hebrews 11 is simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way. Even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Here we come to a passage, and this is what Abraham was being tried. He was being tried to see if he truly trusted Jesus with everything, with all. This particular mountain, we know it as Mount Moriah. This particular mountain was probably one of the most difficult mountains to climb in the history of time. And it was not because of altitude sickness, those of you that have done mountain climbing. It was not because of the endurance. It wasn't because of the lack of water or the lack of food or even the possibility of getting lost on the trail. But it was because of what happened at the peak. Many who conquer a mountain have a great deal of pride, and there's a thrill of reaching the summit. However, Mount Moriah presents a different picture of two people trudging up a trail. And in your life and in my life, there are times I think of Mount Moriahs where we're trudging up a trail and it's not really a happy trail. It's not something that we're all excited about, but God has asked us to go and do something and it seems almost impossible. It seems overwhelming. But God asks us to do it. Now, in this picture here in Genesis chapter 22 and Hebrews 11, it explains to us a little more, because the picture of Mount Moriah, most believe, Bible scholars believe that Mount Moriah also was the place called Calvary. And you saw even in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 19 that it says right at the end that this was a picture of things to come. And as Abraham was asked to give his only son, one day God the Father was asked to give his son, except in that case, Jesus laid down his life. And it was sacrificed for you and I. And so it reminds us of the sacrifice of Jesus. But as we look at it personally, I think there are times in a Mount Moriah case that we're asked to do something difficult. We're asked to do something hard. And this Mount Moriah, it says, man, God, what are you asking of me? But I think we can take some lessons from it. But we come to in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 14, and it says here, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, literally interpreted in the margin or afterwards, it says, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. The word Jireh can mean seen or see. Many times in the Old Testament, when you hear of the prophets in, I think it's in Chronicles and Kings, different places there, you hear of the prophet coming. That word for prophet was Jireh. It was a seer. Many times the Hebrew word Jireh is the same for seer that we, the scholars, when they looked at it, interpreted and said seer. So here it's saying, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. But I think in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 8, I think this is kind of Abraham looking ahead, and this is what I look at as far as the interpretation of Jehovah Jireh. Look at verse 8. It says, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went out, or went both of them together. And so when I think of this term Jehovah Jireh, I think of it as the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. And I think God asks us many times to go up into a Mount Moriah experience. And so sometimes he's going to ask you to do something very difficult. He's going to ask you to do something hard. But what you got to understand at the end, and we can look at a passage in Abraham's life. We can look at Genesis chapter 22, and we can see his experience. And at the end of that experience, he looked up to God, and he said, "Man, my God is not just any God. He's Jehovah Jireh." And you and I and our life need to come to a place at the end when God asks us to do that hard thing. Keep going, keep faithful, because what you will find is Jehovah Jireh at the top of the mountain. You will find that the Lord will provide every time. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we'd ask that as we look at this passage here quickly this evening, Lord, you would open up our hearts, open up our minds. Speak to us, Lord. Deal with us. Make us a better people. Help us to understand our God more through the names of God. Lord Jehovah Jireh, our God will provide. Lord, we know you provided salvation, and we thank you for that. Lord, many, many, many years ago, you sent Christ to die on the old rugged cross. He sacrificed his life so we can have salvation. We thank you for that. But Lord, you have provided so many other things for us. And I pray that we would have the faith to trust you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Here in this passage, then, we see Jehovah Jireh. There was a storm that came and it wrecked a ship. The only survivor was a little boy who was swept by the waves onto a rock. There he sat all night long, and in the morning he was seen, and he was rescued. One of the rescuers asked him, "Didn't you tremble while you were on the rock during the night?" And his answer was simple. He said, "Oh, I surely did tremble, but the rock did not." And I think as we go through, I thought of that as we think of Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, as we come up and maybe as we're going along that trail and we are frail, and as was mentioned in the testimony, sometimes we're just faintly walking, right? We're barely getting along, and it seems as though we aren't going to make it, and God is there because he is a rock and a refuge. He is. He can help us. And I believe there's three necessary prerequisites for us to experience God's provision in our lives. A God who is stable can deliver us from any fears of the future of our circumstances. As God asks of us some insurmountable tasks sometimes, maybe we're going to tremble, but God is desiring for us to trust in him and see that he is in our life Jehovah Jireh. And that is, my God will provide. In the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. First of all, then, we find it in verse 2, I believe. Yes, in verse 2. It says, "Now take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering." And then in verse 3, notice, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning." First of all, a prerequisite for seeing Jehovah Jireh in your life is that you will fulfill God's commands. You must fulfill God's commands. If, notice in this thing, it says, "Take now thy son," and in the next verse, notice what it says, "And Abraham waited for the Lord." It doesn't say that. It says, "And Abraham waited till after lunch, so there would be a storm coming in." Doesn't say that either. Doesn't say that Abraham cried and he was whining and he was saying, "Come on, God, this isn't fair." Notice, God tells him, and he didn't just get up. It says specifically, he rose up early in the morning. He was going to get at it. And I think many times we do not see God providing because you're delaying in the actions that God has asked you to do. God may be asking of you to do some hard thing, but you're sitting there whining about it. You're sitting there making excuses instead of getting up early and get at it. God says, fulfill the commands. Take now thy son. And he rose up early and he did it. Abraham thought about this commandment. I think he did. I think he thought and he was ready to be taught. As soon as God said, Abraham, he said, here am I. He seemed to say, here am I, Lord. I'm all attention. Master, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Mixing a few scriptures together. Are you always in that condition, ready to be taught by God, ready to listen to his voice? Is the Holy Spirit greatly reverenced by you so that the moment you hear him call, you wait to hear what the Lord is going to say to you and you're there expecting the Holy Spirit to prick you? You're expecting the Holy Spirit to convict you? And when he does, you're saying, man, God, I'm at it. Or do you say, man, I think you missed Lord, and the Holy Spirit, I think, was meaning to speak to them. Holy Spirit, when you came and you, I think your direction is a little off. The person in the pew behind me actually needs that. So Holy Spirit, if you could just go back up and come back and convict them. Sometimes we act that way. Sometimes in our understanding, we're not really ready to be taught. We're not ready to hear God's word. And here you see that Abraham is ready. He's ready to be taught. He's ready to obey. Spurgeon said this, faith and obedience are bound up in the same bundle. He that obeys God trusts God. And he that trusts God obeys God. You can't separate them. It's the same bundle. And this evening, this is what I'm asking you. Have you been up on that mountain as God called you to do something hard? And it's saying, it just seems almost impossible. It seems like this isn't going to work, Lord. But he's asking you and he's pressing you this way. Then take the load. Notice he had to prepare all the wood. He had to prepare all the fire. He had to prepare the donkeys, the mules, and he had to travel a little bit. And then, besides all that, he had to prepare all that. Then he had to hike all the way to the top of the mountain. It was a hard task, and then he was going to have to slay his son. That seems like a long process, doesn't it? A long time to think about it. A long time for the devil to come and say, you know what, this seems silly, this seems wrong, this is, do something else. But you notice all along the way that Abraham is saying, God will himself provide. God will provide. So he's ready to be taught, he's ready to obey, he's ready to surrender. We notice that in this passage, he's fulfilling God's command. One man put it this way, yea, shouldest thou take them all away, yet will I not repine. Before they were possessed by me, they were entirely thine. And this is talking about a father, about his children. What we have to understand is whether it's a father thinking about her children or as a human being or as a Christian and the things that God has loaned to us in our possession. Think about it. The things that God, if I am a steward and I live here on this earth, if I am a steward, then what I have, God has lent to me. It is his. He can do with what he wills. And I think many times we forget that. Ready to be taught, ready to obey, ready to surrender. Tozer said this, the man who surrenders to Christ exchanges a cruel slave for a kind and gentle master whose yoke is easy and whose burden is light. Billy Sunday, I think many of us know about him, but Billy Sunday was a famous baseball player. He was a man's man. He was tough. He was sweaty. He was a hard drinker. One day in 1887, Billy went out drinking with his friends and he encountered a group of men and women at the PGM there in Chicago in the Pacific Garden Mission. They were playing gospel songs. They invited Billy and his friends to a meeting to hear alcoholics and prostitutes tell how their lives had been changed by faith in God. Billy, looking back on it, said something clicked inside of him. And in that moment, he turned to his friends and said, I'm through with this. I'm going to this meeting. And at that meeting, he trusted Jesus Christ. Billy not only went to Christ, but he became an evangelist. When he came to New York in 1917, the city had never seen such a religious frenzy. There was a special tabernacle built in New York City, 20,000 seat tabernacle. The structure was so large that it took, because Billy Sunday liked to have the old, having the sawdust trail. So he liked to have a sawdust trail when he had a meeting. But this was 20,000 people that were going to be here. So it was going to be a huge sawdust drill. It took four train carloads of sawdust to fill up this thing. At the revival, Billy, who appealed mostly to men, preached to over, through the course of his life, he preached to over 1.5 million people. This is what he said. He said, I am the Rube of rubies. He said, the odor of the barnyard is on me yet. I have greased my hair with goose grease and blacked my boots with stove blacking. I have wiped my nose with a gunny sack towel. I have drunk coffee out of my saucer and have eaten with my knife. Billy would prop his feet up on a pulpit and say, done it, when he should have said, did it. He said, I have saw, when he should have said, I have seen. But at the end of each message, Billy would call for the people to walk the sawdust trail to salvation. And as a result, thousands, through the course of his ministry, accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know what happened to Billy Sunday? Billy Sunday was walking a direction, and he came to a place where he had to trust Jesus Christ. And after he trusted Jesus Christ said, hey, put down your career as a baseball player and start up the mountain. And he had to leave himself behind. And you know what Billy Sunday found? He found that in the mount, the Lord shall be seen. But it wasn't until he got up there and he was there and he was saying, Lord, what am I supposed to do now? And then God provided. I think many of us, what we want is we want to start out the journey, and God tells you to do something and you want to start out the journey and say, all right, God, now I'm going to go up to the top of the mountain, but I need this and I need this and I need this and I need this. And God says, no, you just get going. Because God wants us to just obey and fulfill his commands. So the first thing was that he fulfilled God's commands. The second thing, look at verse 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Then in Hebrews chapter 11, I'll read it again. This is why this is important. Hebrews chapter 11, it says that he offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now, why was that important? Why is that in there? Because we know that Abraham and Sarah did not have children, and Isaac was their firstborn, and through Isaac all the world would be blessed. And now God says, take thy son and take him up there and sacrifice him to me. Now, how in the world is Abraham going to be a great nation when he has no children? You and I know that's impossible. But you'll notice in Hebrews chapter 11, what it says is, he believed God so much that if he sacrificed Isaac, that God would raise him up from the dead. That's how much he trusted him. So not only do we have to fulfill God's commands if we're going to see God in the mountain, we have to, secondly, forfeit our dreams and ambitions. We must forfeit our dreams and ambitions. Notice what it says, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. Can you imagine the conversation in Abraham's mind? Wouldn't it be better to offer Ishmael? Lord, I got another son by my handmaiden Hagar. I think he's available. I really think you want him. Ishmael, you know what? He's been despising Isaac. In fact, he's been making fun of him. There's been a little ruckus there out there in the desert playground. And I just think that it probably would be better if Ishmael was sacrificed. I can give him up. But no, I want Isaac. And what you will find is there are many times that God, if you're going to be climbing up that Mount Moriah, sometimes the thing that God asks for is the thing that you're hanging on to the most. And God wants to pry your hands off of it and say, no, 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 you cannot trust in yourself. There is nothing good in you. There is nothing good in anything you can do, and you must pry your hands off of anything. Because then, once the blessing comes, guess what you do know? It's only God that provided. Abraham is not up there, and he's there, and he's looking at the ram, and he brings it over, and he sacrificed that, and he says, hey, you know what? I knew it because I am the great hunter. I knew that I could find something, Isaac, to just, you know, substitute for you. No, no. That's why at the end, I believe that Abraham was on his knees and he was calling out with his hands raised and just saying, man, my God is Jehovah Jireh. He provided. And in the same way, many times we start on our journey up that hard path on the trail up to Mount Moriah. We packed our mules. We're heading up there. And we know that the thing that we have to do is, really, it seems hard. It seems hard what God is asking for us to do. But what God is wanting you to do is to trust Him all the way completely. Forfeit your dreams. Forfeit your ambitions. I don't know what it may be. But in your life, we all have some dreams and ambitions. JP, it might be the greatest IT person in America. We know that's impossible. We know that will never happen. All right, but it might be that, you know, sitting out here, you say, man, oh, I have some ambitions. Some of you've gotten a degree, and we all know that. I believe in education, and I believe in working hard. I believe that we should do those things, but I think that many times we push aside, and that's why I think God has led us to be on our knees in prayer. Because many times we want to say, you know what, I'm going to be out there. I'm going to do it. It's determination. It's grit. And you forget that it's God. It's Jehovah Jireh. In the mount, the Lord will be seen. He'll be seen in the mountain, and He can be praised in that mountain, but He wants the glory. He wants the praise. And many times, we want it. We want that praise. He forfeited his dreams and ambitions. I think it's going to be sad when we get to heaven. I think there's going to be many things that could have been accomplished and could have been done for God. But we wanted the glory. We wanted the praise. And that's why even as we go through the summer, what are we thinking about? We're thinking about God's wonders. You and I, we can walk outside, and there's many of you, we've been out west, or we've been down south. You can go out east. You can go all around the world. It amazes me. Sometimes you're thinking back over maybe a place that you've been. Some of you remember a few years ago, we went on a cruise, and I can remember standing on the balcony looking out over the Mediterranean Sea, and man, it's like glass, and it's so blue. And you and I, we can take no credit for that. Because that's God. That's our God. Remember stepping off, and we can look at the beauty of all kinds of different things. Whether it's here in America or here around or somewhere around the world, and you see that beauty and you say, man, what a God. But we want glory in our own little world, though, don't we? We don't mind saying, man, he created the worlds. He made the sea. He made the world. But what about your life? Did he make you? Did he make what you're accomplishing? Is he a part of that? We got to give him the glory. We got to give him the praise. Let's get away from it. And sometimes what we want is, even in our families, dads, sometimes our discipline is only done so that we're not embarrassed. Because we want to be glorified in the church. Well, don't you know who I am? My children have risen up and called me blessed. Well, I'm sorry, Dad, but you've misinterpreted it, because I'm pretty sure that's about her mom, first of all. But if you want to, maybe that's your role, all right? But as a dad here, we sometimes want to say, well, it's because of what I've done. And at some point, as a dad, you need to be on your face before God. And just like Isaac, that son or daughter needs to be handed to God, be given to him. And God will never get the glory when you're clinging on to that son or daughter. He won't. He will not get the glory. And you know it. Some of you, you've tried that. You tried in your own power, tried in your own will, and you said, man, I'm doing this. And you know it, because there's a lot of heartache. A lot of bitterness there. There's a lot of heartache. There's a lot of hurt. And it's because in ourselves we've done these things. And what God wants us to do is pry off our hands. And that thing that is so precious to us, we give it to him. And then we can see him glorified. The last thing here. Look at verse 5. Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And I like this. Notice what he said. And come again to you. Now I see faith. I see faith, but I see also he's going to follow all the way to the end. He's going to follow God all the way to the end. And his faith is so strong that here are these servants, and he says, hey, you know what? You just stay here. My son and I, we've got to go up yonder. I don't think they knew what was transpiring. And he says, we're going to go up and we're going to worship a little bit. And then we'll be back, both of us. Man, what faith. What following to the end. And I think we have to understand that we must have the faith to follow God all the way to the end. All the way. Abraham consistently, what truth says, when he was going to make that burnt offering, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. I think we don't understand what God wants to do sometimes. Theodore Roosevelt said this: there has never yet been a man in our history who led a life of ease whose name is worth remembering. And you and I, in our Christian walk, I think we don't read about the guy that lived in mediocrity. There's really not too many autobiographies written about so-and-so, the Christian who did nothing. Oh, I want that book. Man, that's a bestseller. Let me get that on my Kindle. So-and-so, the man. And you're looking for the continuation. You're like, what did he do? And you open up the book and it's blank. You're like, wow, man, oh, that guy did. You know what? We don't read about people who are mediocre. We don't read about it. Now, sometimes you'll read about people who are losers. You really will. I've read about some people who are losers, and I read them like, man, I never want to do that. And then there's people we'll read about who accomplish something. But most of the time, what you'll find is, a lot of you have read the book by Laura Hildebrand, The Unbroken, and Louis Zamperini. And you read about his life, and what you recognize about his life is he was successful because he had some grit. It was tough for him. And so we make, man, he went through some tough things and he did it. And we say, man, I want to do that. And that's exactly what Theodore Roosevelt was saying. Theodore Roosevelt was saying, there's not a man in history who led a life of ease whose name is worth remembering. And the reason I remember Abraham and we look to him, we say, man, I can't believe what he accomplished. But also he accomplished it because there were some tough mountains to climb. And as God calls you to go up on your Mount Moriah sometime, I'm not saying that you're going to be all cheerful and bouncy, but you'll notice even with his son, Abraham had faith. He had faith enough to follow all the way to the end, because that's my Savior, that's my God, that's Jehovah Jireh. And I challenge you, find Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh is not found in the valley. Jehovah Jireh wasn't found in an easy time. Jehovah Jireh was found when Abraham was asked to give an ultimate sacrifice, something that cost a lot and it didn't make all the sense in the world. But at the mount, in the mount, the Lord provided. Because that's your God. Jehovah Jireh is our God. It's just, and this is what the beauty is. Yesterday and this week, I was looking at another name that we're going to look at soon. Jehovah Nisi is his name. Jehovah Nisi. Jehovah Nisi is the Lord is our banner. There's all kinds of different names of God, but this one here, and what's amazing to me is all the different names describe what our God is, because it is not possible to describe our God in one name. You and I, you know what? When they describe me, it's Steve Dameron. Well, what else do they call him? Jerk? Loser? Idiot? I don't know. Dumb? But when it comes to God, his list of names, it's unbelievable when you look at the Bible. And the reason those names are given to you, you and I, is because we can go to that God and we can bow to him and we can start understanding that our God, in any area of our life and whatever he's called us to do, he can provide. That's Jehovah Jireh. In the mount, he shall be seen. You may be asked to do something hard. Some of you, you've gone through some hard financial times. You've gone through some hard, some of you, physical times. I know this. Some of you, we've been there. Not embarrassing. Some of you, even over the past year, we've been to different times. We've been together. And man, God has asked you to do some hard things you've had to give up some hard things, some very dear to you personally, in your home, in your family. Some people very dear. But this is my challenge to you. You've been asked to do that. Then at the top, turn, pause, look. As there in the thicket, you're going to find what you need. And what you're going to find is Jehovah Jireh. He's there. He'll meet your need. He'll always be there for you. That's our God. He's powerful. Heads bowed, eyes closed.